Before I studied abroad at Cambridge in the UK, friends of mine from seminary suggested that I keep a travelog. And this is it. This is the book that I kept my thoughts and my experiences in while I was traveling in the UK and in Europe. And such travelogs apparently are pretty popular, both in literature and in movies. Into the Wild by John Krakauer begins in April 1992 when a young man from a well-to-do family hitchhikes to Alaska and walks into the wilderness alone north of Mount McKinley. His name was Christopher Johnson McCandless. He had given $25,000 in savings to charity, abandoned his car and most of his possessions, burned all the cash in his wallet, and invented a new life for himself. 4 months later, his decomposed body was found by a moose hunter. I remember reading another travelogue, Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck in high school. It was part of a standard high school literature curriculum for decades. It's the story of Charlie, John's French poodle, and Steinbeck as they drive the interstates and the country roads, dining with truckers and encountering bears at Yellowstone and old friends in San Francisco. Along the way, he reflects on the American character, racial hostility, the particular form of American loneliness he finds almost everywhere, and the unexpected kindness of strangers. More recently, there was Eat, Pray, Love, A Woman's Search of Everything Across Italy, India, and Indonesia by Elizabeth Gilbert. You may have seen the movie, which starred Julia Roberts. It chronicled the author's journey of pleasure in Italy, devotion in India, and on the Indonesian island of Bali, finding a balance between worldly enjoyment and divine transcendence. And I must say, she also found a really hunky husband in Bali, just saying. Wikipedia describes a travelogue as the genre of travel literature that includes adventure literature, exploration literature, guidebook writing, nature writing, and outdoor literature, as well as accounts of visits to foreign countries. And in all of that long entry in Wikipedia, do you know what was most interesting to me? What was missing? According to Wiki, the earliest example of a travelogue was Pausanias' description of Greece in the 2nd century. So hang on, I thought to myself. If travel literature includes adventure and exploration, guides, nature, the outdoors, and travels to foreign countries, then why isn't scripture in the running as the oldest form of travelogue? In the entire Wiki entry for travelogue, there wasn't one reference to any book of scripture. That seems weird to me. So let's begin at this idea of travelogue in scripture by taking a closer look at today's reading from the book of Acts. Paul has just come from his first church council in Jerusalem, and he is back on his missionary travels, and this time, for the first time, he's heading to Europe. He's moving west from Jerusalem. He's traveled through the Roman provinces of Syria and Cilicia, Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey, Derbe and Lystra, where he meets Timothy, son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother named Eunice. Timothy had already earned a reputation as a faithful Christian. He was comfortable witnessing and talking about Jesus to others. So Paul sought him out as a traveling companion, along with Silas and perhaps Luke, who many say is the writer of the book of Acts. And the travelogue begins with Paul's pattern of visiting a synagogue on the Sabbath to give his message about Jesus Christ. Sometimes that went really well, and other times he'd find himself chased out of town or even imprisoned. Luke continues the travelogue of Paul and Timothy as they journey west toward the coast of Asia Minor. It is here that Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia, or modern-day Greece, and afterward, Paul and Timothy and others travel to Philippi, a city in Greece founded in 356 BCE by Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. Looking for the synagogue, they chance upon a group of women down by the river. Paul sits down, which is typical for a teacher in those days, and he begins to teach. It is here that we meet Paul's very first convert to Jesus Christ in Europe, and her name is Lydia. She was a worshiper of God and a maker of fine purple cloth, a color worn only by the elite in the Roman Empire back in the day. If you take a look at the cover of your bulletin today, that icon on the cover is of Lydia. And in the beauty of full color, she is wearing a robe of purple cloth. After being baptized by Paul, Lydia invited them to stay at her home, which is amazing because it shows that she has a home to invite them to. Amazing for a woman of her time and location. And from this first vision, Paul and Timothy and Lydia and Eunice and Silas and so many others came together to build a community. And they shared the one most important thing of all things with each other and with us: their belief in Jesus. That community in Philippi would become the very first Christian community in Europe. Paul would begin his letter to them like this: Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the holy ones in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, both the overseers and ministers, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I brought another travelogue with me into the pulpit this morning, and some of you are going to recognize this book, some of you may not. It's a book that tells the story of a people, some of whom have died and others who are with us still. It tells the story of their adventures in realizing a vision, of exploring ways to make a dream reality, of guides coming and going as the Spirit called them to be together, of the nature of community, and underneath it all, most of all, a belief in Jesus. Like Paul and Timothy, their dreams would make real a community that would have its beginnings in many conversations with people from all walks of life, who begin to share one overarching desire with one another to make their dreams of community a reality. They dreamed of starting something new where there was just a field of grass and weeds and scrub trees, of a place that could and would hold the hearts and minds and hands of hundreds for decades to come, where many families would move into the city, people from all walks of life, many fresh from a war in Europe, all looking for a place to belong, a place to teach about their belief in Jesus. And they couldn't afford much at first, so they started in a small borrowed building that housed, of all things, golf clubs. In the fall chill of October, they moved across the street to an empty field. People in strange robes and weird stoles dug up a spade of earth and built a sanctuary with humble cinder block and plain wooden beams. As people came, more additions to the humble beginning were attached: a hall, a lounge, a kitchen. Windows of the finest Norman glass gave color and life to ancient story. Gravel was paved smooth. Four bells came from the Netherlands to peal the notes of faith, and oaken figures of Michael and the saints came to life on a narthex screen. Just as in Philippi, faith in Jesus was shared as a legacy for generations to come. We all carry within us a travelogue of dreams and visions, our realities and our stories, of adventures and exploration, of guides and companions who share the journey with us, inside and outdoors, in nature and in worship. We visit faraway lands in story and in ships. So in this travelogue of my own from my time in the UK as a student and as a parish intern, It reminds me of my life and the stories that I gathered to me during that time. And as I looked over the travelogues from Paul and St. Michael's as I put together this sermon, I was reminded of all those adventures I might have forgotten if I hadn't kept track of them in this little book. My first time riding the tube in London all by myself and getting to where I wanted to be, by the way. Finding clothes in the shops in the UK, sizes that fit, wonderful of wonderful. Realizing personal differences in perceptions of race and class and education in London and Oxford and Cambridge in the US. Going to the British Museum to see the Lindisfarne Gospels, only to find they'd been moved to the British Library. This little book holds stories of adventure and exploration, guides and walks and travels and conversation and people met and loved and lost. A travelogue like Luke's when he described Paul and Timothy's ancient travels to Europe. Where will your travels take you this summer? What adventures and exploration await you? Along your journey, will you meet new guides, people loved and perhaps lost on your way? And will your belief in Jesus be the thread that ties our stories together? Amen.